So when you look back at not only the work that you did, but sort of the development of Burnaby more generally, do you see that there are any patterns that might have been different from other communities in the area? I mean, I know they had some zoning recommendations quite early on, about 1946 or 47,
Possibly. I really wouldn't be aware of anything like that. The only real major thing that did come into it all was one, and this goes back, I'm thinking back of just within the last couple of years, we were sitting in this very building. And the mayor of that time, and I can't think of his name right offhand, was sitting beside me. And as we talked, I'd met him many times, but never to the point where I sat down and talked. And as we talked, I said, "You know, you were my hero." And he took the bit and he said, "Yeah, okay, why was I your hero?" I said, "Because you're the guy who instigated the paved lanes in Burnaby," which he did. Now, he was an ex-school teacher. He was ex-RCAF when he came back from overseas.
It's not Alan Emmett, is it? It's not Alan Emmett, is
Yes.
it? Yes.
Yes, Alan Emmett. And he was a very progressive person. And he did get some opposition because of that. But in that regard, like we, at that time, your lane, which we, most of us had lanes, and that was our access for our vehicles and to our carports or garages and all this sort of thing. Well, once a year, down would come the oil truck. The grader would come first, and he would take most of the potholes out of it and fill them up so that you could redo it. And then the oil truck came behind and sprayed oil all over this. You didn't go near that thing for the next day or two. And when you did, it was quite often you had to wash your car quite a few times with various stronger cleaners to get this stuff off and keep things clean. That was standard procedure. Emmett instigated the paving of the lanes and all the lanes. It was just a massive project. He must have got one tremendous deal on that. But that was a major, major improvement. Because now, when the garbage trucks went down, which they used the lanes, of course, if there was snow or anything of this nature, the garbage trucks came out. They couldn't be stopped. They just went down all these lanes, and they broke trail for everybody to get their cars and trucks out, you know. And it was just a real major, major asset. So, yes, we did have a lot of progression.
I'm curious whether there are any projects you worked on which were particularly interesting or different. I mean, a lot of these residential areas seem to come from a fairly similar set of plans. Was there anything that was really different or unique or?
Well, not really, except for the width of the lots. Now, when we were building in Vancouver on these 33-foot lots, at one time, we had three houses going side by side. Now, the plans weren't too much different, and the allocations for side yards in those days was 10%. And we had a 33-foot lot, 3.3 feet. So you had 6 feet, six between the houses, actually. But that was frame measurement, too. So then you had all your finishes came inside of that, which we're just talking inches. However, you were allowed 18 inches for a fireplace to progress, to protrude into that. So you can imagine what would happen if you had two houses identical with reverse plans with the fireplaces backing against each other, not too much room in between.
No, squeeze through carefully.
And also, you were allowed 2 feet of overhang on your roof, which was almost mandatory. So we were sheeting these, we were building at the same time. We just walked from one house to the other because time you got the 6'6" and you took off the 4 feet for the overhang, you're now down to 2'6". Well, you didn't even have to jump. You just walked. And of course, in Burnaby, the lots were bigger and you really couldn't do that too readily because the houses definitely were not that close together. So there was a lot of regulations like that were different, mainly because of size, I suppose.